Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We're back here for hour number two of Fantasy Sports today. It was a wild day in the NFL yesterday. We'll recap some of the later games, including a couple of more upsets in reality and in fantasy. We'll break it all down as Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch. Pass is caught. Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Toss to White. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl!
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia with you here on the show as it is Monday, December 2nd, 2019. This is hour number two of our program. Follow us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Follow me on Twitter at Craig Mish, at Joe Pisapia 17. Sean Guastamacchia is producing this show. And lo and behold, one of the most dangerous teams in the NFL right now. Who would have thought would be the Tennessee Titans? They beat the Colts yesterday, 31-17. If you didn't watch the game, this game was a lot closer than the score indicated. It just got away from the Colts late. But unfortunately for them, they're in big trouble after a great start to their season. Tennessee is just rolling right now as Ryan Tannehill, after coming in for Marcus Mariota, has looked fantastic at home and even on the road, which is something he's never done before. 182 yards passing, two touchdowns for him. Derrick Henry, another monster game, 26 carries, 149 yards and a touchdown, also added three catches in this one. Khalif Raymond, who I never heard of before yesterday's game, a catch, 40 yards, touchdown. For Indianapolis, Jacoby Brissett, 319, one touchdown, two interceptions, not his best game for sure. Naheem Hines, 22 yards rushing and a touchdown. Unfortunately, for those of you who needed Jonathan Williams to get into the fantasy playoffs, that did not work out. Probably can't start him anymore. Eight carries, 14 yards. Zach Pascal, seven catches, 109 yards. No T.Y. Hilton in this one. Jack Doyle, six catches, 73 yards. I got to say, Joe, look, I mean, I give the Titans all the credit here. I mean, they have really come on strong. I did think the Colts had a shot to win this game. And then on Friday, when they announced that Hilton was out, I changed my opinion on this one. I think Hilton is probably the most important or one of the most important non-quarterback players to any team in the NFL. It just seems like when he's in the game, even if he doesn't do much, he's a threat, he's a game changer. When he's out, you could see what the Titans were doing. They were just locking in on Brissett's eyes. They were picking him off. They did it a couple of times in this game. That doesn't take anything away from Zach Pascal or whoever, Paris Campbell, whoever Indianapolis is lining up there. But I just, without Hilton, the Colts don't win. And the injuries have piled up for them. And Tennessee is now in the driver's seat to make the final spot for the playoffs in the AFC. They certainly look like they have a good shot to do it. I don't completely trust them, but they've played well lately. And for the Colts, this magical run that they've had, I mean, the really good run, I should say, that they've had, even without Andrew Luck to start the season, I give them a lot of credit, but it's gone the other way for them at this point.
It has. And they lost Marlon Mack in this game, too. So even though, you know, they had Williams and everyone's like, oh, Williams, you know, well, you know, he's not Marlon Mack. You know, that's the reason he wasn't starting over Marlon Mack in the first place. So, but you're absolutely right about T.Y. Without T.Y. Hilton in this offense, they become very one dimensional. They're already a very low air yard kind of team in terms of average depth of target. They don't really push the ball downfield, but because they have T.Y. Hilton, that allows them an opportunity every now and then to take a shot, and everybody has to stay honest because T.Y. is that kind of talent. And that allows Brissett to work underneath to the tight ends like Doyle when Ebron was healthy, same kind of thing. Even just kind of just those little slant routes and things like that, you'd see guys like Pascal Ram. So the fact that when you take T.Y. Hilton out and then you take Marlon Mack out of that offense too, it's just too many pieces. It's too many pieces for them to lose, and they had trouble scoring points. And on the flip side of this one, man, the Titans, I give Vrabel a lot of credit. He made the right decision at the right time. He tried with Mariota. He gave it one last college try. Didn't work out. You pull him, you throw in Tannehill. Tannehill had a lot to prove. I think at the beginning of the year, everybody felt like, you know, if you're in a two-quarterback league, that Ryan Tannehill was the guy that you could kind of draft and stash on your bench because at some point in time, he would start games. And there was a lot of discussion. We had it on my podcast, I know for sure, who's going to start more games this year for the Titans, Tannehill or Mariota? And all three of us said Tannehill because we just felt like Mariota was, you know, at this point in his career where he was just done there. And Derrick Henry's been that guy. They played well. Tannehill's made good throws when he's needed to. He's run around a little bit, made plays with his legs, kept defenses honest. And Derrick Henry, man, he is a freight train. He is a locomotive and he's running to the end zone. And I love it. I love watching those kind of guys run, man. I was too young to appreciate Earl Campbell, but I saw, you know, those kind of big runs, a big guy running the football. It's fun to see. You get a lot of these little scat backs nowadays. It's fun to see the big old running back take the ball and just knock people over. I love it.
If there was one team yesterday that kind of went into the game as a big favorite and came out as that they were supposed to, which is rare in any week in the NFL, it definitely was the Packers yesterday, as really from, not from start to finish, but about from the second quarter on, they really took it to the Giants and ended up winning 31-13 in the end. Aaron Rodgers, probably not the MVP, but jumping back in and out of this MVP conversation. It's kind of funny. 243 yards, 4 touchdowns for him. So 2 out of the last 3 weeks has been great, but the other week not so much. He's a weird guy to start in the fantasy playoffs, I think. Jones, 11 carries, 18 yards. A disappointing day from him. Alan Lazard had 103 and a touchdown. And Devontae Adams is now going to reward his fantasy owners after missing all that time. 6 catches, 64 yards and 2 touchdowns for him. Daniel Jones, 240, 1 touchdown passing, 3 interceptions for him. He was suffering through an ankle injury. We're going to have to see what the story is for Daniel Jones. Why the Giants are still playing any of their guys, I just don't even know. Barkley, 83 yards, does not look healthy. He says he is, but he just doesn't look right. 3 for 32. Why are they playing him? I don't know either. Caden Smith, back-to-back good games for him at tight end, 6 for 70. Slayton, 6 for 44, gave you 10 points. And Sterling Shepard, back on the fantasy scene, 3 catches for 40 yards there. So a weird game a little bit for the Packers. This is kind of the Aaron Rodgers of old that you expected. A lot of touchdown passes and using a lot of different weapons. But it hadn't been this way for the Packers most of the season because they've been running the ball so well, especially with Aaron Jones. He couldn't get anything going against the Giants, which is surprising. But Rodgers in that bad weather showed up in a big way. He's used to it, threw a bunch of touchdown passes. And Jones, kind of Daniel Jones, quarterback for the Giants, fell pretty late in the game, just didn't look right. And after the game, they said he had an ankle injury, but he fought through it. So we'll see what happens. I thought that the Giants would have shut down Barkley by now, Joe. They still haven't done it, and that's good for fantasy, but I don't know that it's good for him at all.
No, it's tough. Look, starting with Barkley, you're right. He doesn't look like Barkley of last year. We all saw Barkley of last year, and all of us just, we'd like to rub our eyes and make googly eyes and go, oh my God, that guy's incredible. We haven't seen that this year out of Barkley, outside of maybe like the very early in the season. And Daniel Jones is, look, I think Daniel Jones will be fine. He's turned the ball over too much. He's a young quarterback. He's learning on the job. This is what happens to a lot of young quarterbacks. So Giant fans should just hang tight. I think you've seen enough out of Daniel Jones that he's got a little bit of fire inside him. He's a guy that can make plays and he can, again, move around a little bit in the pocket, which is something Eli Manning could not do at all. So a healthy Barkley next year and Daniel Jones in year two, I think there's a lot to look forward to if you're a Giants fan. I think things are actually on the upswing there. And on the Packers side of this one, huge disappointing day for Aaron Jones. I thought this would be a huge Aaron Jones day, especially in the weather. 11 for 18, just a disaster. I don't know what's going on there. That pissed me off. The Lazard touchdown pissed me off too, but I don't know. I mean, Devontae Adams is my favorite receiver coming into this game because the Giants secondary is so bad and their defense just generally isn't bad. Now, he had the 2 touchdowns, but I thought 6 for 64 was kind of disappointing. I was expecting one of these 10 for 150 2 touchdown kind of games from him. And Aaron Rodgers is, look, I mean, how many times has Aaron Rodgers broken 300 yards passing this year? Like twice.
Are you literally complaining about Aaron Rodgers and Devontae
Adams? I'm not complaining. He threw the 4 touchdowns, which is awesome. But it's just funny to me how the yardage totals, no matter how many touchdowns he throws, I'm not complaining. I just think it's weird. I think it's kind of a strange anomaly.
Great games for both of those guys, man. I mean, Adams, well, how many better receivers in fantasy were there yesterday than Devontae Adams?
I don't know. I thought the entire NFL. I was getting greedy. I don't know. I had him in every lineup, but I still didn't cash. I had him and Parker.
25 points in fantasy?
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, it was a very good day. I thought it could have been transcendent against the Giants. That's all.
Receivers in the NFL have had 30 points
in a greedy bastard
game this year?
You know what? Devontae Adams has missed a lot of time.
Don't be upset you didn't win money in DFS, man. It happened.
No, I'm not upset at him. He's not the problem. The problem was Sam Darnold went to bed and Kyler Murray went to bed.
I mean, that's
quarterbacks.
That's part of the guessing game. All right, we'll be right back with more fantasy sports today. Don't go away.
We'll be right back.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And I like football. And I'm going to keep doing them both because they make me feel good.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia with you here on the show. All right, so one thing in the entire day, I had a feeling, and that would have been the Steelers beating the Browns. That literally was the only game that I think I got right yesterday. And the Browns are now put to sleep for the rest of the season. They're in the sleeper hold there, the Jimmy Snuka sleeper hold, whatever. Whoever used the sleeper hold to put people to sleep in wrestling, yeah, pick that guy. Steelers beat the Browns. What an impressive win for them, man. Great, great season for them. And adding Minkah Fitzpatrick to that defense has really done the job. Hodges, 212, one touchdown, one interception. Benny Snell, 16 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. Good to see him getting some action there. And James Washington over the last few weeks has really come alive. Four catches, 111 yards. Juju Smith-Schuster, of course, missed this game with an injury. Baker Mayfield on the side of the Browns had a hand injury, played through it. 196, one touchdown, one interception. Freddie Kitchens after the game said he'll be fine, but we'll see. Nick Chubb's worst game of the year, probably. 16 carries, 58 yards. Kareem Hunt was really good. Seven carries, 46 yards, five catches, 19 yards, and a touchdown. My guess is some team takes a one-year shot on him next year. And Jarvis Landry also gave you some nice PPR points, 6 for 76. And the disastrous season for Odell Beckham Jr., one of the big first-round busts, no doubt. Three catches, just 29 yards. And so all the credit in the world to the Steelers as a road favorite at Cleveland 2 weeks ago and a home underdog 2 weeks later against the Browns. A very bizarre turn of events there. But even with Cleveland, with all of that talent and being a favorite, still can't get it done. Being in a really good spot to make the playoffs, I think that is now officially done. Cleveland will be the one of the few really disappointing teams in the NFL this season, although the game was close. I mean, they had a chance there at the end to tie it, but they didn't get the job done, Joe.
Yeah, another strong all-purpose day, though, from Kareem Hunt, which, you know, that's what you want. Nice all-purpose days, get a touchdown, catch some balls. Kareem Hunt's going to have a job somewhere. I don't know where, but he's going to be a number one somewhere next year. And I think he goes right back to being a second round kind of pick, depending on what offense he ends up in. So I'm taking that away from this finish with Kareem Hunt. Somebody will take a chance, and I don't think it will be Cleveland. I think Cleveland, you know, feels really good about Chubb. I would be very surprised if they brought him back. But there's a lot of teams out there that could use Kareem Hunt. That's for sure. Washington, you know, so frustrating because Washington, beginning of the year, the story was, you know what, this could be that second guy. Juju's the one. This could be the second guy. And the second guy in that Pittsburgh offense is always very fantasy worthy. He's a guy you want on your team. And then the Roethlisberger injury, and then he doesn't do anything and you get dropped. And then he has a game or two that are good, and then nothing again. Then Deontay Johnson becomes the guy for a couple weeks. And now we're in a run here where James Washington's been that guy. So it's been a crazy, crazy season. Nice to see Benny Snell getting some work. I think he made the most of the opportunity that he had. And I'm not surprised at all that the Steelers won this football game, especially after losing to the Browns once before already. It just felt like it was time for, you know, the Steelers to be at home, have that defense show up. And this is gaining steam, too. These teams are starting to really not like each other. A lot of extracurricular stuff floating around here before the game, too. So we'll see. There's a fun rivalry here heating up between the Browns and Steelers because, look, frankly, it hasn't been a competitive rivalry for a very long time. So it's kind of fun to see that heating up again.
Yeah, and Pouncey will come back for Pittsburgh and Connor probably next week as well, and the Steelers can make a little run here toward the playoffs for sure, and the Browns will have to figure things out in the offseason. I think this kind of ended their chances. Bengals beat the Jets 22-6 as New York, after a nice little run, somehow became a favorite in this game and did not cash, that is for sure. Andy Dalton, 243 and a touchdown. Mixon, a lot of volume, 19 carries, 44 yards, a touchdown, also four catches. Safe to put him back in lineups, I think, for the playoffs for sure. Tyler Boyd, 5 for 59, also scored a touchdown there. Sam Darnold, only 239 passing yards and nothing else. A big disappointment for Le'Veon Bell. Usually gets these kind of numbers, but then adds a touchdown to it, and he didn't. 10 for 32 on the ground, 4 for 35 in the air. Robbie Anderson was the only saving grace for anybody riding any Jets. He had 7 for 101, and shockingly, Crowder, who's in most fantasy lineups at this point, only two receptions there. And so Andy Dalton definitely making a huge difference, I think, Joe. I mean, that was really a big part of it. And there are some rumblings that AJ Green is going to come back this week. We'll see if that happens for Cincinnati, which would really be interesting. I guess Green is weighing whether or not he should come back and show teams that he's healthy for next year. Good vibes for sure for the Bengals to win and not go 0-16. And for the Jets, they're kind of right back where they have been all season long. And they reverted back to the old Jets. And we've seen this now in the NFL happen. Dolphins played well yesterday, but they had a little bit of a good run. They fell back to earth. Atlanta had a little bit of a good run. They fell back to earth. And the Jets had a little bit of a good run. And now they're back to earth, too. So it just seems like it all evens out in the end.
Yeah, it does. You know, the Jets are the Jets. They always remind you of that at the worst possible time. But if you've watched recently over the last two games for Darnold, you've seen him looking down the field more. And that's why Robbie Anderson's kind of come back to life. And that's why Crowder's kind of gone by the wayside, because he's gotten more confident. And that's been a good thing. But at the same time, now Crowder's kind of gone bust, which kind of sucks. So it's about finding balance. I feel like Darnold is this guy. It's like all or nothing. You know, he's in on one guy. He's in on this one thing, or, you know, he needs to learn to, I think, continue to develop to play the quarterback position a little bit better and see the whole field all the time and, you know, take shots at the right time, not just because, okay, I feel good, now I'm going to take shots. And Robbie Anderson, I think, is a guy you could feel pretty good about as a flex going forward for the rest of the year. Certainly Boyd was nice to see him, 559 the touchdown, as you mentioned. So a nice day for Tyler Boyd. And if AJ Green does come back, which I think he should come back. I mean, that would make sense to me. But at the same time, I feel kind of like, you know, you don't want to get hurt again. It's very difficult. And if he does come back next week, do you have the guts? Do you have the stones to start him in a playoff?
I think No, but I think that you roster him and then you wait to see what he does. But yeah, I'm in that position in one of my leagues. There's no way I would start him. I don't care. There's no chance. But then if he does well and you advance past that, I think that there's a chance of starting him too. Look, there are guys that are going to help you in the playoffs that haven't helped anybody for 10 or 11 weeks. Geis is one of them. Singletary could be another one. Finally, he looks good as well. So it's, you know, you had to get to that point. That's the hard part, is looking at it where you took these guys and see if they ended up getting there. In terms of the NFL draft, the number one pick is wide open right now, Joe. The Bengals have one win. The Giants have two. The Redskins have three. Of course, they played against the Dolphins head to head, and the Redskins beat the Dolphins. So the Dolphins would slide up to three and the Redskins would go down to four. But as it stands right now, because of tiebreaker scenarios, they are 3-4 there. And then the Falcons are right on the outside again, looking in here. If they lose every game the rest of the year, they could grab it too. It does still feel like the Bengals are going to get the number one pick overall. But let's not forget, again, Miami plays Cincinnati. So if Cincinnati was to beat Miami and get themselves to the second win for this bust for Burrow sweepstakes, which is what it looks like, then Miami could jump back into the top spot. It feels like the Giants are locked in at two, no matter what.
Yeah, it's starting to feel that way. I mean, it's a great spot for the Giants. If you were the Giants, just, you know, obviously in a vacuum, you think you got your quarterback. You're probably not going to go with a quarterback there. Is Chase Young the automatic guy there? Get somebody in there in defense and help that woeful defense out, at least on the front.
It could be. There's an offensive lineman also that's coming out. Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver from Alabama. But I mean, I would assume Chase Young will be. Yeah.
And I don't think you go wide receiver. I think you got enough weapons there already. You know, Daniel Jones needs either protection in the offensive line, which could always stand to get better in New York. Or I think you got to improve that defense, because defense is not bad.
The great thing is for Chase Young is, he could not have a better scenario playing out here. I mean, he's going to be in the top three of the Heisman, which they'll vote on in 2 weeks. He's going to play in probably two playoff games. I mean, he's got a great showcase for himself. So, yeah, I mean, there's that chance that he could be the number one overall pick in the draft, depending on what happens. If Joe Burrow played no other games, Joe, he's the number one pick in the NFL draft. But because he still has to play, it's like not even fair that people will judge him in these last three games or two games, depending on how far they go. He'll play in the SEC championship coming up this week. And then, as long as they win, then he'll play in one playoff game. They win that, then they'll play in the national championship. But right now, Bengals are still in the driver's seat, but that game against Miami, I think, is going to end up determining who ends up getting the number one pick in the NFL draft coming up. So we'll dive into more of that as we move along here on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next, some of the later games in the NFL went off without a hitch. Two of them were pretty much dull. And then another one went exactly how you thought it would go, pretty much at the end of every game, which the Chargers end up blowing. So we'll get into those games next. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, along with Joe Pizzapia, with you here on the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our show if you're listening on iTunes or you're listening on Google Play. However you listen to your podcast, you can like and subscribe to our show. We'll get it sent to you every single day, right to wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you also want to go to the FNTSY website, you can check us out there. Also, sportsgrid.com has a nice assortment of both fantasy and gambling shows as well. Here on Fantasy Sports Today, we'll be back with more fantasy football discussion as we get ready for the fantasy football playoffs. Don't go away.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pizzapia.
Do you want two risk-free wagers of up to $1,000? Go to pointsbet.com/grid. Open up a PointsBet sports wagering account. Enter the promo code GRID and you'll get two risk-free bets of up to $1,000. In addition to traditional betting, PointsBet also offers its own betting concept where customers are rewarded by how much they win their bet. For example, if you're playing tonight's NFL game and you bet the Seahawks as home favorites by -2.5 and they beat the Vikings by 3 points, you will receive 3 times your stake. That's pointsbet.com/grid. Enter promo code GRID and get your two risk-free bets of up to $1,000. You must be in New Jersey to take advantage of this. Also, you must be 21 years or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe here with you. And wouldn't you know, just when you thought it was over for the Los Angeles Rams, they pull you back in. And here they were yesterday with their best offensive performance of the season, an absolute throttling blowout for the Rams as they beat the Cardinals 34-7. This game was over in the first 5 minutes. Honestly, Jared Goff, his best game of the year, 424, two touchdowns. Gurley, 95 yards. Where did this come from? And a touchdown. Woods, 13 catches, 172 yards and a touchdown. Higbee got involved. You just play those tight ends against Arizona. It's incredible. 7 catches, 107 yards and a touchdown. And Cooper Kupp, 6 for 65. And Arizona just didn't show up for this one. Murray, 163 and an interception. He salvaged his day with a rushing touchdown. Drake, 13 for 31. David Johnson, whatever he's done. And Larry Fitzgerald, 6 for 56. Christian Kirk got hurt in this game. Ended up coming back, so I think he's okay. Just got rattled up a little bit. But yeah, the NFL, here it is, week to week league, Joe. I mean, a nice summary here of this game here. Arizona looks like they're making a nice run, and you know, maybe they'll win a few games, and the Rams are done. They can't score. They can't do anything. And then they look like the Rams of last year, at least for one day. And that's a good sign, I guess, for the Rams. I don't know what to think about them. They're going to be very unpredictable for me the rest of the season, but they put themselves back in the playoff push, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I can't buy into the Rams. I think they got embarrassed last week in their home. Not that it matters at home for them, but they got embarrassed last week on Monday Night Football. National stage embarrassment has a way of lighting a fire. And honestly, I was just kind of concerned that there wasn't any fire to light anymore. They proved that there was, so good for the Rams. I did not see a blowout coming in this game. This one shocked me. Especially Goff on the road has not been good. You're right. You know, maybe not statistically his best game, but maybe playing his best game of the season, Jared Goff. Gurley, almost 100 yards rushing, even though he's not the same player. And we finally got a Robert Woods game. It's not shocking that Tyler Higbee had a good game because the Cardinals are the worst fantasy team defensive-wise against a tight end. So even though Everett was out, Higbee should have been a logical pivot there to, you know, if you're looking to stream a tight end, you had injuries or just didn't like what you had. Higbee was a really good guy to pick up in that situation. And Kyler Murray was a huge disappointment this game. Now, he wasn't healthy coming into this game with that hamstring issue. So it seems like that's probably more like this was. So I wouldn't read too much in this bad Kyler Murray performance. He was not 100% in this game. That being said, if you go out there, you got to be judged on your performance. And the performance was not good. This was a huge turd there laid by the Cardinals. And good for the Rams, showing a little respect for themselves. Because honestly, they need to show a little bit more respect for themselves in the first half of the season as well. Maybe they wouldn't be in the situation they're in.
Yeah. And look, I thought Arizona had a chance to win this game as well. And it just, you know, just totally the other way. But again, proving the NFL from 1 week to the next, you never know. A great example of this one this past week with the Rams going to Arizona and just shutting them down. Broncos beat the Chargers 23-20. Well, you knew Philip Rivers was going to have the ball at the end of this game with a chance to tie or win. And what a bizarre ending this one was. So we'll get to that in a second. First, Drew Lock, who didn't look great, but threw a couple of really okay passes, but Sutton made great catches really to save him. Sutton was fantastic in this game. 4 catches, 74 yards, 2 touchdowns. Lock had 134 passing yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Lindsey, 17 for 58, 3 receptions. There's just not a lot of great fantasy options on Denver, although Sutton is a must play every week now. Rivers, 290, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. At one point, they were warming up Tyrod Taylor. They did not bring him in, but it seemed close. Gordon, 20 for 99. Mike Williams had a couple of huge catches in this one. 5 for 117 and a touchdown. Keenan Allen, 6 for 68 and a touchdown. And Austin Eckler is just matchup proof. This guy always scores, always gets a point. 4 for 51 and a touchdown as well. Poor coaching, I think, for the Chargers. They always find a way to lose. I get that. Questionable play at the end of the game in terms of pass interference. But I got to tell you, you have 4 wins on the season. You have a 4th-and-1. You're on the 30-yard line. I know they kicked a field goal and then potentially they could have went to overtime, but you had a minute, so just go for it on 4th down. If you don't get it, you lose the game. What is the worst thing that could happen? You had a chance to win the game in the end, and you don't go for a yard. You kick the field goal, and then, wacky things happen. You're the Chargers. You lose. And so, I thought it was probably a bad call. I don't think you call pass interference at the end like they did with 14 seconds left. Ended up costing them the game, but Denver very easily in overtime could have ended up winning. I just thought poor job by the Chargers in a losing season. On a 4th-and-1 with a minute to go, I think they should have went for it. And if you don't get it, I live with it. Okay, then we'll make fun of them for not getting a yard. But I don't get this guy, Anthony Lynn, at all.
I kind of agree with you. I'd always rather be more aggressive, especially when you already know you're not a good football team. You're out of it. Go out there, try to be aggressive, go get the W on the road. You're in a spot where you can have him, go get him. Mike Williams having a game, that's great to see. Him and James Washington, two of my favorite kind of guys going into the year. All of a sudden, it's nice to see them in week 13 finally showing up and doing things. Eckler was tremendous again. Eckler's going to be a really nice second-round running back next year when Melvin Gordon's gone. Another guy, your running back market's pretty good too. Melvin Gordon probably going to be out there. You're going to have Kareem Hunt out there. And I'll tell you what the other big takeaway for me is. Cortland Sutton is matchup-proof. Another guy that I absolutely love coming into this year. Have so many shares of Cortland Sutton. 2 touchdowns for him and 1 hell of a catch in the end zone too. This guy, it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. I mean, they could bring back Jay Cutler to go play quarterback. And it doesn't matter. Everybody who plays quarterback, Cortland Sutton is basically, it doesn't matter. He's going to show up. He's going to have big plays, another big game from him. So that to me is the biggest takeaway. I would like to see Lindsey, kind of be a standalone back again. It's kind of frustrating that Freeman's even there at all. But look, as far as Drew Lock goes, what was your assessment of his first game here?
Very average, in the NFL? But not surprised. Very average.
Okay.
Very average.
Do you think he's their guy going forward?
I have no idea. I mean, I got to see more to make that final determination. I can't do that off one game. Look, the way that the Chargers play offense, I don't even know that we'll have an opportunity to see that this year. But I would guess that
the Broncos play offense.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Broncos are going to have to either get a new offensive coordinator or this Fangio is going to have to allow them to be more aggressive, because playing this way is just ending the games quickly so nobody gets hurt, but it's not really doing anything more than managing a game. This is no fun football. This is not the way that John Elway, I don't think, anticipated things, but it's the kind of talent in the season that they have. And for the Chargers, they'll get you.
Did you see the rumors, by the way, before the game that Ian Rappaport was reporting that they might pull Philip Rivers for Tyrod Taylor if things weren't going well? Amazing how we've gotten to that already.
No, I mean, Tyrod Taylor was warming up. On the sideline during the game. I mean, Rivers threw a bad interception and he was right. I think Tyrod Taylor's going to play this year. I do. I think that's possible. I don't know what he's going to end up doing at the end of the year, but it's coming to an end.
I don't know. Staying home, taking care of his 20 children, maybe? I don't know. He's got a lot of kids.
He doesn't look right. No. Chiefs beat the Raiders 40-9, another game that was over before it started. It was close for about a quarter. Mahomes, 175 and a touchdown, also rushed for a touchdown. Now, the running game in this one in particular is interesting. Now, I don't know that anyone can take advantage of this in fantasy, because it'll be very risky. But we finally got a look at Darwin Thompson, who rushed for 44 yards and a touchdown, but also made a big mistake on a holding call in this game. So I'm not sure what they're going to do there. Darrell Williams got hurt. We'll talk about him in our injury report in a little bit. He looks like he's out. I don't think they could start any of these guys in the playoffs, but McCoy scored, also had three receptions. Kelce, 5 for 90. Tyreek Hill, 5 for 55 and a score. The Raiders just turned the ball over and it was done. Like, you looked at the Raiders stats and you thought, oh, wow, they probably kept this game close. Carr, 222, a touchdown, but he threw two picks. They also had a fumble in this game. Jacobs, 17 for 104. Waller, 7 for 100. And all the good feelings, unfortunately, Joe, for the Raiders are now out the door, because not even keeping this game close is, I mean, they probably got eliminated with this loss and Tennessee's win. I think that kind of puts them out of the conversation at this point. They'll have to win out to even have a shot. But Kansas City off a bye. Andy Reid now 18-3. That's just incredible how good this guy is, I guess, preparing for it. And a game that wasn't really close.
No, it was not. This was not close at all. But I would still say that the Raiders, I think, no matter what happens at the end of this year and the last month of the season here in December, I think the Raiders step away and go, hey, you know what? This was a step in the right direction. Now, granted, they had nowhere to go but up after last year. But I would say you take a lot of positives out of the season no matter what. Jacobs was a positive. Waller, Carr's played pretty well. They need a lot more talent on the roster, but they have a lot more cap space to do it. So now they're in a spot where this rebuild can continue to go forward. And they have some money to spend. So we'll see what happens there. And on the Chiefs side of this one, you know, Darwin Thompson, another guy. It's like him, Washington, Williams. It's like all the goats of sleepers past heading into the draft. All of a sudden, week 13 showed up. And it's absolutely bananas there. McCoy getting that touchdown too. You just like kind of throw your hands up and be like, well, there you go. There you have it. But Mahomes going into New England next week, that is going to be super fun to see. I think Mahomes is kind of playing at this point too. Like, hey, remember me? I'm the guy that threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns and everybody couldn't get enough of me last year. And now all anybody wants to talk about is Lamar Jackson. What about me? I'm pretty good too. And I think Mahomes is going to remind everybody this was a blowout of epic proportions here for the Chiefs. And honestly, considering the Chiefs season, they could kind of use a game like this. So this was a good confidence builder for them.
In terms of the playoffs, for where it stands right now, the Bills have 9 wins and you would assume that they're on pace to get in.
Yeah, they're in.
The Steelers and Titans both have 7. Now, only one of those two teams can make it, right? Because there's 2 wild cards. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
And then the Raiders are sitting at 6-6. The Colts are sitting at 6-6. So I would assume that the Raiders are still alive, Joe. It's just they would have to win every game the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't think. The Raiders are maybe mathematically alive, but they're not getting in this year. If they had won this game, they would have had the tie. They would have had the split then with the Chiefs, and things get real interesting. But I think it's really tough now. This was a game they really needed to win and they didn't. And look, and I think they kind of were looking ahead, and I can't imagine you coupling that loss to the Jets last week with the loss this week. And, you know, I guess they got their doors blown off. They scored, what, 12 points in the last two games? Can't have that happen.
Yeah, they should have scored some against Kansas City. It's funny, the stats were okay, but the
end result convert.
Was not. 31 points, can't lose like that. All right, coming up next, we'll briefly touch on the Thanksgiving Day games. We didn't mention them at all, and just any takeaways from that. We've also got the injury report from the NFL yesterday, and we'll take a look at the Monday night football game tonight. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. This is Craig and Joe here on FST on this December 2nd, 2019. And we will wrap our show up here on this Monday coming up after a short break right here on FST.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe here with you. Joe, how was your Thanksgiving last week? Interesting stories to share? Any good meals?
Well, had a lot of fun, actually, doing the shows from the studio. It was the first time I've ever been covering football on Thanksgiving and doing it on TV. That was kind of like, I know it's not, I'm not necessarily on NFL Network or CBS or something like that, but I'll tell you what, I was a very proud moment for me personally, setting goals for myself. So broadcasting any kind of football show on Thanksgiving was very cool. And it was great that everybody kind of, you know, shows up there on Thanksgiving to work and do that for the good of the network. And I had a really nice time. My folks came over, stayed a little bit, played some games with the kids. That was fun. Decorated the Christmas trees. And yes, plural Christmas trees. We got four Christmas trees in the house. And upstairs and downstairs. Well, we got the upstairs one. You got the downstairs one. And then you got the two little ones. They really don't count. They're the little Charlie Brown trees, one at the front and then one in my kids' room. So all the trees are decorated. All the bins are back in the attic. We've turned the page. We're on to Christmas. We're on to Cincinnati. Craig Mish, any fun things for you?
By the way, do you get real Christmas trees or are they the plastic?
No, I don't do that real Christmas tree. You know, you wake up all of a sudden, your house is infested with spiders or God know what the hell else is in those things. No, fake tree. You put it out there. You leave it up there. You don't have to water it. You don't have to take care of it. It's just there. It doesn't make a mess in the house when you got to drag it in and drag it out. That is so much work. So much mess. I don't have time for that nonsense.
All right. Just asking. I don't know. We don't do that here. So, you know,
I know you don't. But Thanksgiving, how was your Thanksgiving, my friend? Did you gorge yourself there?
Yeah, we ate pretty good. You know, watched football and went over to the in-laws' house and no arguing, no politics, no nothing. It was great.
Wow. That's
just
great.
Just
is there usually politics and arguing?
Oh, sometimes there is, but I don't get into it. As soon as that happens, I just walk away. I'm not interested in talking about it. Sit on the couch. I'm a big watch the game, sit on the couch guy.
Do you help out? Do you wash the dishes? Do you do anything? Do you just
I didn't have to. Yeah, no, that was it. I didn't have to this year because it was not my house. So no, there was no hands-on participation for me.
Okay. Yeah, I cook the meal. I do the show. I come home. I clean the house. I cook the meal. That's what happens when you're the single daddy. You do the mommy daddies, the chores and the daddy. So you take out the trash, but you also cook the meal. And you're the one that takes the stuff out of the attic and then also decorates a Christmas tree. So I did catch some of the games, though. So I did catch some of that Buffalo game.
I watched all of them. I actually watched more of Mississippi State than I did.
I figured. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, you are really a college football whore. You love it. You can't get enough of it.
It's a shame. It's almost over. We'll talk about the Irishman tomorrow. I watched the Irishman on Saturday night. That's when we watched it. Yeah,
in one sitting. Good for you. I did it over two nights because
we decided we were going to start it Friday, but it was like pushing 10. We're like, let's do it Saturday instead. And so we got it in. We started around 9 and finished. Mm-hmm. A little too long for me, Joe. But other than that,
we'll do the full review tomorrow. Teaser, if you want, you know, this is your chance to watch it before Craig and I talk about it. This is it. You had the whole holiday weekend. Go watch it. And
we'll do spoiler alerts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Thanksgiving Day games. All right. So Blau played for Detroit.
He did.
He played well enough at the beginning. All the damage was done by him early, but then the Bears ended up coming back and winning. The Lions have just been a disaster since like the second game of the year. Not much takeaway, honestly, from that. Allen Robinson, I have in a playoff league, so I was happy to see him do well.
How good is Allen Robinson, by the way?
He's good.
I mean, we're talking about like just steady. Allen Robinson is basically having the season that Devontae Adams had last year, where every week he's just 15 points or something like that. It's unbelievable. And I love those guys. I'll take those guys any day of the week, as opposed to those dudes that go off and have that 150 game. And then they have a 30 yards the next 2 weeks. I hate that. It drives me crazy in football.
Well, I mean, he's tied to Trubisky, which is the problem. But beyond that, yes.
But even when Daniel played, he was good with Daniel, too. Go back and look. He was pretty much Allen Robinson those weeks, too. It was crazy, man.
I hope
he's been terrific.
Yeah, I'll need him. The Bills just crushed the Cowboys. It was really not a competition. Buffalo looked amazing in that game. I would expect them to come back to earth a little bit, but Dallas just got pummeled, annihilated, crushed. I mean, there's no other word for it. It just wasn't close. And the Saints really put it on Atlanta. Also, the Falcons did a bunch of onside kicks. I caught those at the end of the game, which made it a little bit closer. The highlight of the game was Matt Ryan being stiff-armed and thrown to the ground, pretty much. I don't really have huge takeaways from that. It was fun. It was fun to see Singletary get more involved with Buffalo, even catching. Was it catching a pass or throwing a touchdown? Which one was it?
You know, that was the one I was going back and forth in. So that game, I did not see
it. It was a trick play where he was involved in it.
And Josh Allen's played well, man. Josh Allen is,
he's good.
You know, he is a good quarterback. A lot of people didn't like him. They thought he was too raw. I don't know what people were talking about, man. Every clip I saw him and I was watching all the YouTube highlight reels and all this stuff, I saw this guy who was just running out there making plays. And, you know, I get it, you know, that there were some concerns with him and the accuracy. And look, I'm sure he'll still continue to work on that, but that you can work on. You can't teach raw skills and ability. And I feel like he has him. And I'll tell you what, too, you're the Cowboys. Is this finally it for Garrett? I mean, I've heard a lot of Lincoln Riley buzz. That was the buzz. Is that the guy?
Oh, I don't know about that, but I would guess probably so at the end of the year. But look, Garrett's in a really good spot. I mean, you would think he's in a terrible spot. As long as Dallas wins two or three more games and they get a home playoff game, what happens if they pull off an upset against Seattle or against San Francisco? How do you do that? You don't fire the guy at the end of the
year. That would be an epic one if they came. He's not in a bad spot.
He's not in a bad spot. He really isn't. So we'll see how that works out for him. In terms of the injuries in the NFL, I did not see anything overly significant. Greg Olsen had a very shocking, bad-looking concussion where he was hit by a defender and then just was out cold.
Yeah,
and he missed the rest of the game.
And he's had more than one of those in his career, too. So that
we probably won't see him the rest of the year, or at least not this week. There's no reason.
I think it's time for him to hang it up, go into broadcasting full time.
Yeah, he's great. Long, great career for him, for Greg Olsen. And then Darrell Williams had a hamstring injury on the Chiefs, which will probably put him out. But you want shares of those Chiefs running backs, but you just want to know who it's going to be. And Damian Williams, I guess, could come back next week, which would make him valuable again. But it is hard to navigate the Chiefs running backs. I didn't see any other major injuries. Did you see anything?
No, it was actually not a bad week for injuries. The last couple of weeks has been okay. If you're not the Steelers, I feel like the Steelers are just, no Connor, no Juju, no this guy, no that. I mean, just crazy. And yet they came out with the victory anyway. I think when you're looking at this too, you could see the void that Kareem Hunt has left there. And I think people forget just how important he was, because you had that finish there at the end of the season where the Chiefs were just rolling and Mahomes was just rolling last year. And it went, oh, Damian Williams, it's anybody. Anybody can be good in this offense. Well, now that we've gotten pretty much everybody else playing running back in this offense at some point, I think we can all step back and go, yeah, you know what? Kareem Hunt was pretty good. He was a really big factor in that Chiefs streak last year of how good they were. And, I'm not trying to defend what he did, but at a certain point, it's like he's playing in the NFL. We have to evaluate him as talent in the NFL, and he's a starting running back somewhere. And unless they go out there and get a Melvin Gordon or draft an ATN or somebody like that, or maybe go back to that Kareem Hunt well after all, I don't see a situation there where, they need a running back in the worst way. And I think Detroit does, too. That's the other big takeaway. I know Scarborough had some moments in that game. That was my first longer look at him. What'd you think of Scarborough running the football on that one? I mean, he seems like, just a old throwback kind of running back to me, right?
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah, he's all right. Yeah, he'll
can you put him and carry on in the same backfield and make that work?
No,
and
they'll need like a Riddick like they used to have with him. Like that's what they'll need. They'll need
is
like
carry on just that catching. After all? Is carry on just more of the pass catching running back?
No, I think he's a running back.
You think he's more than that? Okay.
Yeah, but he just gets hurt a lot. Detroit will fix that next year. They'll have to have more options. Unfortunately, Jonathan Williams. Yeah, I mean, he looks. Jonathan Williams looked so good on the Colts. He was a good, kind of fill-in guy that you could have played if your Detroit situation didn't work out, and then he didn't. But I think Scarborough he's not going to catch passes ever. And in this day and age of the NFL, they want those guys to be able to do everything. So I would say that he'll probably be drafted in the mid to late rounds next year. My guess is Detroit in the second or third round in the draft picks a running back. And it'll be Kerryon Johnson, whoever they draft, and Bo Scarborough. That's kind of the way it feels like for me with that. Okay, so tonight's game, I'm pretty much wrong about the Vikings every week. So I don't think I've gotten them right at all year in any game. And Seattle, I've been okay with, but Seattle's a 3-point favorite in this game. Most people are going to lean toward the dog. I feel like I'll probably do that again, and the Vikings will disappoint me. I didn't think that Minnesota would beat Dallas a few weeks ago, and I thought Cousins under the lights always crumbles, and he did not. And so Minnesota certainly playing really good football, but Seattle is clearly, with Russell Wilson, awesome as well. I don't really have any narratives in this one. I saw that some of the Seahawks players were sick on the injury report with illness. Maybe that's something that's happening here in this one. How do you see this game tonight? If at all, seems like a very tough game to call, close game.
Well, look, 49ers just lost again, right? And if you go out there and win today, you take a lot of pressure off yourself for week 17, don't you, when you meet up again? So this is an opportunity here for Seattle this is a huge game for Seattle to beat the Vikings here at home in their building And if you are Seattle, you've not played well in your building this year. You've had some very close games. And to me, I think you go with the Seahawks here. And I do think the Seahawks will cover. I do think they will win this football game. Russell Wilson has played very well this year. So has Kirk Cousins. Outside of that first couple weeks of the season, we did that comparison on the show last week. It was shocking how close those two were going into last week's contest. And if Adam Thielen was active for this game, I might feel a little bit differently. But I feel like Adam Thielen's that other piece of this puzzle that's kind of missing for them. And as much as you want to take away some things from beating the Cowboys, I mean, the Bills just went in and beat the Cowboys too. So the Cowboys are just not very good. So I don't know if I want to like make that equation of, wow, look at the Vikings. They went in there and they beat the Cowboys. Can they go in there and beat the Seahawks? I think that's a different task. Beating the Cowboys in Dallas is much easier. So I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one. It might not be fun, but I think it's going to be one of these games where I think Seattle understands the gravity. Russell Wilson does. Pete Carroll does. And if you can get home playoff games with San Francisco in your building, I think that's what you prefer to do. You definitely prefer that. Even though you went and beat them already in San Francisco, I think you want to play them in your building. You want home field advantage throughout. And Seattle's in the driver's seat right now if they can do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, it'll probably be a total of some kind. I mean, I don't know how I feel about Dallas anymore after I saw, you know, Minnesota go to Dallas and win close. I thought that that was a real big signature win. Now I'm not sure how I feel about Dallas, but I feel like maybe some points tonight. I think we could be due for that. I don't normally go over, but I think that that could be the call for me tonight in this game as well. Today is also a interesting day. We'll have more on this tomorrow when we come on the show. 8 o'clock Eastern tonight, Major League Baseball teams have to decide whether or not they're going to tender contracts to players. So we'll have a list of those players tomorrow, and we'll dive into some fantasy baseball discussion as to who does not get tendered, because there'll be probably a handful of players that'll be fantasy relevant that'll end up signing contracts with other teams. Jonathan VR over the weekend was somebody that was designated basically by the Baltimore Orioles a fantasy monster last year. And
huge season.
Yeah, it was a third round pick in fantasy.
What was the reasoning behind that? They just didn't want to pay him, or just
they did not want to pay him. Yeah. $10 million on a team that's going to lose 100 games. They did not feel it was necessary. They couldn't make a trade. Yeah.
How could it? I'm shocked that some team didn't want to just, you know.
Well, we're going to find out. Well, somebody could claim him. They have to 1 o'clock Eastern today to claim him, and they get him for free. But you have to pay him $10 million. That's the deal.
Do you think he's worth that? I know he's been up and down.
I would think so, but it does not seem teams at least seem like they're thinking that don't claim him and then offer him 2 years, $13 million. Basically pay a little bit more, but get him for 2 years. That's what the general consensus seems to be.
He could help a lot of teams at the top of an order for sure.
Travis Shaw is another one today. Probably gets designated by Milwaukee 2 years ago was great. Aguilar got designated by Tampa. So there'll be some names that we'll go over tomorrow here on Fantasy Sports Today. But coming up next, what we'll do is we'll end it with the 2 minute warning. You're listening to FST. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia.
The 2 minute warning.
2 minutes, get your shit together.
Is that gonna be enough time?
Now that we know that the college football playoff is locked in with more or less three teams, and we'll be waiting for the fourth on Saturday, here's what you have to look forward to in the month of December. One of my favorite months because of bowl season. In college football, I participate in the bowl pools and love picking these games. But this could be a very interesting bowl season because last year we saw about a dozen players that opted out of their bowl games for fear that they would get hurt in the game for the NFL draft. Two of them are playing in the NFL, and Hawkinson and Noah Fant on Iowa's side. This is going to happen a lot, folks. So it's on Alabama. You're looking at probably six or seven players. And on some of the good college football teams that have had bad years, you're probably looking at a half a dozen players as well. I think this number could be between 20 and 30 players that are going to opt out of the bowl season. And so as we continue here on Fantasy Sports Today, we'll tell you about all of those. But I would just tread with caution this bowl season, especially when these lines come out, because they could change very significantly by the time the games actually go off in the middle or late December or even into January. That'll do it for the show. Thanks again to Sean Guastamacchia for producing. For my co-host Joe Pizzapia, I'm Craig Mish. We'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday after the Monday Night Football game recap and then start looking ahead to the fantasy football playoffs. Full-time fantasy is next. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.